Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on lying deceivers when we come back. You know, once in a while, we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. Now, John Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet which was given to him by the leaders of his craft back in 1880. And someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. And Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. Now, you know it and I know it, he said. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions and publish that in your paper would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. Now, the business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now, you know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes, and we're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program, this New World Order, the men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers and Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time that we wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and to survive this New World Order and this Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and this New World Order, then call and order our free 4-hour compact disc package. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. That's the place to start. Doesn't cost you anything. You can call right now and order one. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org, and then go to the archives page and download it right there. Lying deceivers. Where have we heard some of these lying deceivers? In the last series of programs, we were talking about the global financial crisis and what's going on behind it and the chicanery that goes on in our public life, the economists and the politicians, bankers, and so on. They're lying deceivers, all right, but they're not alone. There are lying deceivers in all of our business and political and educational institutions, and they do it for a reason. It's basically money. Sometimes it's political power. Sometimes the military does it because they want military power and military sway. Colin Powell went into the United Nations and lied about the weapons of mass destruction that the Iraqis had. Remember that? That's what got us into the Iraq War. And then when we found out there weren't any weapons of mass destruction, they came back and they lied to us some more and said, well, you know, he was a bad guy anyway, and we needed to install democracy in Iraq. Well, gosh, aren't there other places closer to home that need democracy? Maybe Colombia, Venezuela, Cuba? I mean, we don't have to go to the other side of the world to find some place that needs democracy, do we? No, you know, this isn't a rant, you know, to get you to vote for this guy or that, but I just thought I'd point this out. Now, there's a number of areas where we're lied to and lied to regularly. Oil and peak oil and the shortage of oil and the price of oil is one. The loss of the fishing industry down in the Gulf of Mexico, New Orleans, you know. And you remember they were telling us about, oh, my God, we've lost all these fishing and fishing grounds and fishermen and blah, 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 and this, that, and another thing. That was a lying deception. I'll report on that for you. Ice cream. You know, the stuff that we all like. This ice cream, that's a lying deception. That stuff's poison. You know, I'm not telling you not to eat ice cream. Ben and Jerry have to make a living, too. But if I tell you what's in that ice cream, you know, things like antifreeze, deadly poisons, formaldehyde. I mean, my God, are you sure you want to eat that stuff? I'm not telling you that ice cream's bad, but commercial ice cream, yeah. And then there's Christmas and the bank bailouts and the cure for cancer and vaccines and public schools and voting machines and insurance. And the news media and journalists, I just reported that to you here. You know, John Swinton was the editor of the New York Herald Tribune back in 1880. And then you heard what he said. He said, you know, there's no such thing as honesty in journalism. Do you believe that things are better today in journalism, that it's more honest and open today with Katie Couric and Brian Williams than it was with John Swinton back in 1880? Now, we've got credit cards and licensing and evolution and global warming. That's another great one. I love this global warming ruse. I've reported on that a time or two. I wrote down 32 of these deceptions. You know, global warming's one, evolution's another one, health and medicine, the Lusitania sinking in 1915, Pearl Harbor, Gulf of Tonkin, the Twin Towers, 9/11, the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War. You know, these events that are reported on and we watch on our TVs and read about in our newspapers, these are lying deceptions that are presented to us by lying deceivers. And I've got 32 of them written down here. I've only got 7 hours in the series. I don't think I can report on all 32, but I'm going to report on a few. And I thought I would start, I'm going to start here with the CO2 and global warming. It's fast and easy. I can dispense of that one right off the top of my head. Now, the basic story that we see on the news media, or in the news media constantly, is that we Americans, and especially those of us in the Western world, not so much the Chinese, or the third world, or the Indians and Pakistanis, you know, but mainly those of us in England and France and Germany and the United States and Canada and Australia, those of us in the advanced Western industrialized world, we, because of our appetite for more stuff and our greed, which translates into our wickedness and selfishness, we demand more of the world's goods and services than the other people of the world. And that's certainly true. I wouldn't deny it. The average guy in the world is using something like 2/3 of a barrel of oil per year. And we Americans over here, we consume something like 75 or 80 barrels per person per year. Well, I can figure it out here. You know, you got 6 billion barrels a year that we consume here in the United States. So let's put 6 billion, 369. Am I right there? Put one more in there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There we are. There are 9. 6 billion barrels. And there's about 300 million of us. So I'll divide that by 300. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 20. I overestimated here. 20 barrels of oil a year. And the average guy in the world is consuming less than a barrel. I think it's 2/3 of a barrel a year, maybe 3/4. Isn't that special? I mean, think about all the people in the world out there and all the oil that's being consumed, about 30 billion barrels a year. And we consume way more than our share, and I don't deny it. And so the story goes on. Well, because we're doing that, we are releasing carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, and the carbon dioxide is causing global warming, and global warming is causing the ice caps to melt. And these ice caps melting are increasing the levels of the ocean, and it's going to increase them by 3 feet. Islands are disappearing. Miami is going to be inundated, and millions of people in Bangladesh are going to drown or die from starvation because of the selfishness and the greed of Americans, Canadians, and Germans. And so I just thought, you know, let me report on that. And so I did. I made a report on it. Now, first of all, I don't believe that CO2 causes global warming, period. Period, period, period. But let's assume that it does. You know, for the sake of your model, this is your story, so let's go with your story. And it's causing this global warming. And so your argument is, burning all this coal for electric power, burning all this gasoline, driving around going nowhere, is the major culprit. And so they're telling us we got to cut back on our electricity consumption, and we got to go green, we got to have windmills and solar power, and we got to quit burning so much gasoline and one thing and another, and cut down on this global warming, cut down on this CO2. And they assure us, now if we'll do that, global warming will go away and happy days will come again. Yeah, that's the basic story that I'm getting here in Isabella, Missouri. So just being a dumb plumber and all, I don't know much about global warming per se. I'm not a scientist. I didn't go to the university, and I didn't graduate from the California Institute of Technology or something like that, but I'm not brain dead yet. I'm not brain dead. So I'm reading along over here one day, and I'm reading a story about Mount Pinatubo over in the Philippines. It erupted back in 1995. And that volcano stirred up quite a lot of attention because we Americans at that time had a military base over there, an Air Force base, and we had to evacuate that. And this mountain went off and spilled ash all over, and it puts carbon dioxide up into the air. And, of course, the question arises, well, how much carbon dioxide does a volcano like Mount Pinatubo put into the atmosphere in a year's time? And the answer is, it puts more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere in 1 year than all of the activities of mankind, going back in evolutionary philosophy now 2 million years. So if you go back 2 million years when man first learned how to build a fire, rub two sticks together, build a fire to keep warm with, that lets off carbon, which creates carbon dioxide, which goes up into the atmosphere. You start 2 million years ago with that, and then you just keep following it along until you get to the Industrial Revolution. And then we started burning coal to make steel, to make iron rails, to build our railroads, and you carry on down to the nuclear age, and we're blowing up nuclear bombs, you know, and we're testing and all this, and then we're digging up all this coal and oil, and we're burning all this gasoline. Take all the activities of mankind for 2 million years, and it produced less carbon dioxide. All of the activities of humankind for 2 million years put less carbon dioxide into the atmosphere than Mount Pinatubo did in 1995. And that's just 1 year. Now, how many volcanoes go off every year? 12, on average. Planet Earth, 12 volcanoes go off every year and put 12 times more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere than all the activities of mankind combined for 2 million years. That's why I tell you that this global warming is as phony as a $3 bill. Now, when we looked into it, I did a report, remember, we looked into it, they're proposing a carbon tax. The United Nations needs to be funded. And so the nations now, that's Germany and France and the United States and Great Britain and China and Japan, all these countries have been asked now to get together here. We've got to have a global warming summit, and we've got to cut back on all this, and we're not going to cut back on the burning of coal and so on. So what we're going to do is we're going to create carbon credits. It's a taxing system, and we're going to raise $1 trillion a year by making the utility companies and oil companies pay this $1 trillion carbon tax. Then they will raise their prices on gasoline, a nickel a gallon, and the price of electricity by 2 bits or something, a nickel a kilowatt or something. And they'll go ahead and pay this tax in, and you and I will pay the tax by paying our utility bill and buying gasoline. So what they're proposing is that you and I pay $1 trillion a year. And so to get that through, I mean, if they came to us and said, we just want to raise your taxes $1 trillion, we'd get ticked off and vote Republican, like we just did. So that's why I said, you know, that thing's as phony as a $3 bill. Not because I'm smart. Don't have to be. This isn't rocket science. Just listen to what these people are telling you, and it's being reported in the mainstream news. See, I don't have any CIA chief coming in here and briefing me at 10:30 every morning and explaining to me what the hell's going on here, you know, with spy satellites and intelligence gathering services and spy networks and listening in, you know, on the communications of email and so on. I don't have any of that. Hell, I'm just getting it out of USA Today, you know, just like you do and everybody else. Now, the difference is that I'm paying attention to what these people are saying, and it's contradictory and their numbers don't add up. So, now, in the case of global warming, the numbers do add up. They add up to $1 trillion a year tax increase worldwide. I mean, it isn't just in America. And maybe we need this tax increase. I'm not suggesting that maybe what this $1 trillion a year tax increase is going to do might be real good for everybody on the planet. Maybe all the governments are going to spend this money on health care and education and all kinds of good stuff that we all need and desire and want, and it's probably all real good. Well, in that case, then, why don't they come to us and say, look, we want to do a bunch of good things for you. We want to give you health care and a good education, one thing and another, and we're a little short of money. And so we'd like to raise your gasoline a nickel and when you're putting your utility bill, you know, by a nickel a kilowatt or something like that, so that we can raise $1 trillion and provide all this. And then you and I could, you know, think about it and say, well, it sounds like a good idea to me. It's only a dime, so let's go ahead and pay it. I was listening to a guy yesterday who was on talk radio, and he said, now, the Democrats have proposed that they raise the gasoline tax by 15 cents, federal gasoline tax. And he pointed out that by doing that, they would raise enough money to fix the infrastructure here in America, you know, the bridges and potholes and the roads and one thing and another. Now, I don't know what they're doing with the 17 cents that they're getting now. In our state, our gasoline tax, state and federal, is 42 cents a gallon. And I drive to Springfield. I went in there yesterday, and I noticed they're building a big interchange there at Highway 60 and 65 and 60 and 65. And there's your highway tax dollars at work, your gasoline taxes at work. And I haven't done the arithmetic on this, and I don't know if they're squandering the money on wild women and song and building an interchange once in a while with spare change, or whether they're spending every dime on building interchanges and filling the potholes, and they're not chasing wild women and smoking cigarettes and drinking whiskey. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm just pointing out to you that the federal government has said, hey, we need this 15 cents. Now, he pointed out that would amount to less. He said that the average car in America gets 24 miles to the gallon, and that would amount to 6 tenths of a cent per mile. No, it would add 0.6 of a cent. Yeah, 0.6 of a cent per mile. So if you're commuting 30 miles a day, 15 miles to work and 15 miles home, and it's costing you about a half a cent, it's going to cost you about 15 cents a day more to commute to work. And he said, you know, that's chicken feed for all the good that it's going to do, because it's going to fill the potholes and fix the bridges and so on. I would suggest that somebody do an audit on the money that's being spent. What are we getting for the money that's being paid now? And maybe there's a legitimate need for it. I don't know. But we're faced with lying deceivers everywhere else, so why not there? I would just bet you that your highway traffic fund is a lying deception. If you looked into it, I think you'd find waste and corruption and fraud that would choke a Cosa Nostra mafia don. I mean, he'd just shock him. Now that we've talked about this phony fraud called global warming with CO2, you know, and then these same scientists tell us that in past ages, CO2 was higher than it is today, and before Noah's flood, it was so high we had bigger trees and bigger bushes because there was more carbon dioxide. Furthermore, all of the plants on the planet need carbon dioxide. You know, we humans breathe in oxygen, breathe out carbon dioxide. The plants breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen. We need the plants to produce our oxygen, and the plants need us to produce our CO2. That's not true. Not true. All of the animals on the planet breathe out carbon dioxide, but nowhere near enough to provide the CO2 that the plants need to breathe. Maybe a tenth as much, maybe not even. Nowhere near enough, but you know, it's a step in the right direction. So by shutting off carbon dioxide, we're not doing the plants any favor. The plants have to have carbon dioxide. If we could do what these scientists are suggesting, shut off all the carbon dioxide on planet Earth, all the plants would die, and all life on the planet would die. Come on, let's wake up now and smell coffee. So God, the creator of the universe, created these volcanoes to make up the shortfall. You have to have the volcanic action every year to produce enough CO2 in the atmosphere to feed all the plants. And even that's not enough, because the plants are nowhere near the size that they used to be before the flood. But it's enough to keep things going at the level that they are today. So that's my report. And these are lying deceivers that tell us that you and I are to blame. Now, it is true that some islands and some low places in the world are being flooded, and I don't deny that. I mean, I read the same reports that you do. I read the newspapers, like old Will Rogers used to say, all I know is what I read in paper. And I'm doing that. But it isn't being caused by you and me. And even if it's being caused by CO2, it isn't being caused by you and me, because those volcanoes are putting out 12 times more than all of mankind has produced and all of our activities combined, and they do it every year. Every year. So, you know, let's wake up and smell the coffee here. Now, my report here isn't going to change your opinion in all probability. I mean, you know, once you've been persuaded that CO2 is a boogeyman and we got to solve this problem or we're all going to die, you'll probably go to your grave believing that, like my granddad went to his grave believing that the Germans sank the Lusitania, which was an unarmed passenger ship, you know, which wasn't engaged in any kind of gun running or anything like that. He told me how bad you Germans were. Yes, sir, Bob, I'm 10 years old, my granddad. See, my granddad was born back in 1888. And he lived through World War I. Now, I wasn't born until before World War II. I was born in 1939. So I didn't know anything about the Lusitania in 1915 being sunk by the Germans, but I'll tell you the story right now to give you a little flavor for this lying deceivers. You know, we have these lying deceivers going around, and they've been around for a long time. This isn't something new that just started with Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, you know, George Bush. Hell, this has been going on, you know, for thousands of years. But these lying deceivers now, they have a decided impact on how you and I think and react, how we behave. And then the way we react and behave has an impact upon geopolitics and about the global financial crisis and about taxation and all kinds of other things. And they're not leading us around now and spreading these lies for no good reason. They've got an agenda and they've got a motive. And hell, maybe it's a good one. Now, my only comment is, well, if it's so good, then why don't you just come out and tell us the truth? And then we'll weigh out these true statements that you're making. Well, hell, they know we're not going to buy the truth. So they're going to tell us lies because the lies sound better than the truth. So anyway, going back here, you know, to this Lusitania story over here, my granddad told me back about 1948, 49, 50, when I'm about 8, 9, 10 years old. He said, now, let me tell you what happened here. And here's the story I got right from my granddad. He said, now, these dirty Germans, these Huns, these wicked, evil people, see, my granddaddy did not understand where the Gordons came from. He thought we came from Scotland, and we do, and we're pretty famous over there, and we've got a Gordon clan over there, and a Gordon plaid, Gordon Highlanders and a regiment in the British Army, and, you know, they're well-known people over there. But, you know, before we got to Scotland, where'd we come from? And the answer is we came from Germany. So, you know, my granddaddy didn't understand that he was, in the final analysis, a German who had years ago, you know, back in the Middle Ages, migrated to Scotland. Just like Queen Elizabeth, you know, you people who really say, well, she's an English lady. No, she's not. She's a German, and her name ain't Windsor. It's Saxe-Gotha. Now, come on. Let's go to the encyclopedia and look up Windsor and Saxe-Gotha, and then let's get a little history under our belts here. Queen Elizabeth is not English. She's German. And so am I. And so was my granddaddy. But he thought he was an American, see, and he thought that he was a Scotsman and that he wasn't a German. And he said, these dirty Germans over here, these Huns, these wicked, evil people over here that are fighting against the English, our friends and allies and brethren, they sank an unarmed, peaceful merchant ship carrying passengers, of which 235 of them were Americans, and they were killed when the ship was sunk. Now, the Germans, to their benefit or to their credit, and the ship sank now 1915, May 1915, they published in 5 newspapers here in the United States a warning. And they said, now, the English and the American governments are collaborating together here. And President Woodrow Wilson and Winston Churchill, who was the Secretary of the British Navy in those days, back in World War I, they said, no, we're not either. America is neutral, and America is not involved in this war on one side or the other. And so the Germans said, well, yeah, they are, and we've got spies, and our spies have figured it out. Now, you Americans are making munitions for the British, and you're smuggling it in to Great Britain, and you're doing it on these merchant ships, these passenger ships, a lot of it. And the Lusitania is one of them. And they said, if we catch the Lusitania on the high seas, we're going to sink it. So don't buy a ticket on that British ship, because they're engaged in war, and by God, we're not going to sit still for that. So the Americans said, well, no, we don't believe that. And so they got on the boat, and sure enough, the Germans caught it, and they sank it. And then, of course, the British and the American press came out with the British and American governments denouncing the Germans for their wickedness and their barbarity. See? Now, 1967 comes along. My granddad died in 1951. So 1967 comes along, and guess what? The old records, you know, that are national secrets, you know, like this Wikipedia, they're publishing these lying deceptions that the government lies to us about. And so some guy catches this, you know, like the Daniel Ellsberg Vietnam War revelations, you know, and so on. Once in a while, there's a guy jumps out and leads the public and says, okay, let me tell you what's going on back here behind the scenes, because I'm part and parcel. I'm a whistleblower. I'm going to tell you what's going on. 1967, it comes out. The United States was manufacturing guns and bullets for the British in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and several manufacturing plants, and they were turning out special ammunition that fit the British guns. So it wasn't that the British were coming over here just buying bullets off the shelf at the local sporting goods store to stick into their .30-06. See? They were buying special munitions being manufactured here specially by the United States government or with our sanction, which was an act of war against Germany, and they had every right under the law of nations to sink any ship or to do whatever they needed to do to prevent that. Now, you know, there are 60 million Germans here in the United States of America. And, you know, 60 million people are descended from Germans. And the Germans are just people like everybody else. And then they got into a bitch with the English and the French. And then the English and the French couldn't whip them, and so they needed to get the Americans into the game. And that's the tiebreaker. They needed to get us in. And they tried to get us in 1915, but the people of America wouldn't quite buy into it. See, unlike the Iraq War, the weapons of mass destruction, hell, we took that one hook, line, and sinker. But in 1915, Americans said, nah, we're not interested in that. So it wasn't until 1917 that they could get us involved in that war. And if they had had their way, they would have done it in 1915. So there's another lying deception. So when we look back in history, we find out all the people like my granddad who were lied to and deceived all died before that was ever made public. And then, of course, to people like me and, you know, the younger generation coming up, well, so what? What's the big deal? And that's where people are today. You know, so what? So what's the big deal? Okay, we're at the halfway point here, so let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, we can go a step further. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and then you can download that free general law CD package right there. So for people online, you can just go get it right now. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, and they're true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and we stand by them. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend their books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we give for these authors and publications don't mean that those authors or those publications are going to endorse and recommend the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Sometimes they give scathing reviews and reports and they call us everything but white, you know, that happens. So I wanted to explain to you, you need to keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here, they may be hostile to us, they may be political, sometimes they're religious, sometimes they're economic, sometimes they're sectarian, sometimes they're racial, and sometimes they're ethnic. But in any event, they're all partisans, they've got an agenda, and their viewpoint and our viewpoint may not mesh. And so we don't necessarily totally endorse everything that these people are espousing. But we report on it, and sometimes we review it, and we say, hey, we think that's pretty good information there. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. And we're pretty controversial, and we take up controversial issues and talk about them here, you know. And hell, the radio station, hell, they may be sitting there saying, well, we believe in global warming. And listen to this lunatic coming over here telling us global warming does not come from CO2. And they may have an entirely different opinion. So don't blame the advertisers and the sponsors and the management or the staff for what you hear on this program. They're just getting paid. They're just doing their job. And hell, they probably agree with you. And they're totally opposed to us. So blame me, would you? Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, we pique your curiosity and you say, well, I wonder what that lunatic is trying to tell me. And then we invite you to go to our website because we've got more information there. And then it's georgegordon.org. So if you'll go to your website, georgegordon.org, you can click onto our website and you can check us out there. Or you can call us direct if you want. Just pick up the telephone, call up and say, what in the hell are you people trying to do anyway? And we'll tell you. Number to call is 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about lying deceivers. And the world's full of them, and you know it as well as I do. You've been lied to once or twice, just like I have. And then when we get lied to, sometimes, not very often, but sometimes we pick up on that. We find out about it. Winston Churchill, I was like that old boy. He was an insider, and he was pretty wicked and awful and terrible. And he did a lot of bad things. But oftentimes these world leaders, like Joe Stalin, Winston Churchill, and Franklin Roosevelt, you know, these guys, you know, they're not dummies. You don't get to be the dictator of Russia by being stupid. You don't get to be president of the United States by being an ignoramus. You may be a lackey, but you ain't dumb. And then they come up with some pretty wise sayings. Well, one time old Winston Churchill said, you know, most people in their lifetime at some point in time are going to stumble across a little bit of truth. But he said, never fear, because most of them will pick themselves up, brush themselves off, and hurry about their business as if not much of any importance had occurred to them. So I can come on the air here, beat my gums, and tell you about global warming and how you're being lied to and deceived, but that isn't going to change very many people's opinion. It'll change a few, but not very many. Most of us, once we get something in our computer, something between our ears, we'll die with it. My granddad died with his belief about those Germans sinking the Lusitania, an unarmed merchant ship. And God love him, he was a great guy. He told me the truth as best he knew it. You know, he read the papers, and he believed what the papers told him. And the papers, they got their information from the government, and the government denied it and said, no, we're not doing that. And he was an American, and he was a good, loyal American. And the people in the press, they're good, loyal Americans, and they're gonna support the American line, whether it's true or false. And that's what everybody does. I mean, if there was a controversy between the United States and France, all of you Frenchmen over there would take up the French side, and all of us Americans over here would take up the American side. You know, and maybe both of us are wrong. Maybe the both of us have this story backwards and upside down. That happens very, very often. So just because you hear it in the newspaper doesn't mean that it's true. The newspaper is just a good way to get it out in front of people so that you can propagandize them. And a guy by the name of Hitler, remember this guy, Adolf Hitler, he said, the more lies you tell and the bigger the lies, the more likely that the masses of people will believe them. Social Security is a fraud. It's a lie. It's a lying deception. Then you don't need to believe me. It doesn't make any difference whether I believe it and report on it or not. Social Security will collapse of and by itself of its own weight. Let me show you why. Very simple. And these are numbers that you can pull right off of the Social Security website. Just plug in U.S. government, you know, socialsecurity.gov, I believe, and you'll get on their website. And they will give you the numbers. Just run the numbers out. You know, it ain't rocket science. Social Security is going to collapse. And about 80% of Americans, young people, these are the people, you know, that are under, oh, I suppose under 50, but probably under 40, maybe even under 30, just young people. They're out there polling. You think you're going to collect Social Security? 80% of them say no. No, I don't believe it. All right, now you 80% that do not believe that you're going to collect your Social Security, you're exactly right. You hit the nail right on the head. You ain't going to collect. And that's because Social Security is bankrupt today. And its debts are going to grow to such a degree. I'm not sure that Social Security is going to collapse. I think the United States government is going to collapse first, and Social Security will just be another casualty along with it. But if the United States of America doesn't collapse, and if we just continue on out into the future, 20, 30 years from now, Social Security will collapse. Now, let me give you the numbers here. Social Security is a pay-as-you-go program. So you're not investing your money in Social Security and then that money being lent out at interest, and then that money collecting and earning interest over time is going to pay you back. Okay? So here's what's going to happen. You're going to pay into the program for about 40 years. And as you pay into the program, here's the way this thing works. The first person to draw money out of Social Security was an old lady in 1940, and there was a big newspaper write-up about her, and she got the very first check, you know, 0001. She wasn't the only person that was getting checks that year, but she got number one, first check, 1940. So they started the program in 35. We paid into it, and in those days we paid in 0.5% from our wages, and our employer paid in 0.5% from his sales, and that totaled 1%, so if they were paying you $100 a month, between you and your employer, you sent $1 off to Bethesda, Maryland, to be paid into your Social Security trust fund account. They call that the Social Security Trust Fund. It's not a trust. There is no trust fund. There never has been. Ain't now and ain't never going to be. But that's what we called it. And that's what we believed. And that's what we believe to this day. Now, at the time that this lady was collecting her first check in 1940, 80 people were paying in for everybody that was drawn out. Well, you can't lose with a deal like that. But by 1945, more and more people were drawing out, and it dropped to 45 people paying in for everybody drawn a check. And then by 1957, it was 16 to 1. The other day I saw it was down to 3.3 to 1. It's down to 2 to 1. In 2020, I believe it was 2020, it's going to be 1 to 1. Arrest my case, right there. That tells you the whole story. Once you get down to 1 to 1, that means that there'll be one person drawing out for every one person paying in. And assuming that the guy that's paying in his payments and the guy that's drawing out and that balances. But as time progresses along, our birth rate has dropped and there's fewer people now coming into the workforce and more people retiring. So pretty soon there's going to be two people drawing out for everybody paying in, and then four people drawing out for every person paying in, and then eight people. It's growing geometrically. Now, if you can do geometric arithmetic, it doesn't take you very long to figure out. That's unsustainable, it ain't going to work, and the thing's going to collapse. So when I saw the numbers, I said, okay, now I see where reality's at. Now, I'm old enough, I could have signed up for it, and I could have drawn out, and I would have gotten everything that I paid into it, or just about. I was going to get $800 a month. Well, no, I wasn't either going to get it all out. I was going to get $800 a month, and then you get this COLA. Well, now the last 2 years, they haven't paid any cost of living increase, now have they? So, you know, assume I got $1,000 a month, and I retired at age 65, I'm going to die at 75, 120 months later. So I'm going to get 120 checks. Let's just figure out how much I'm going to get here. 120 checks. Times 1,000, that'd be $120,000. Well, hell, from 1978 to 2005, I guess it was, or 6 when I was 65, I paid in $141,000. So I wasn't even going to get out, you know, actually what I paid in. See, fortunately for me, when I paid in $12,800 up in 1978, from 1950 to 1978, I paid into Social Security $12,800. I called them up one day and I said, how much have I paid in? And they told me. I said, okay, well, I'm going to drop out of Social Security. I'm not going to participate in your program. And this lady said, you can't do that. You have to participate in the program. It's the law. She was wrong. It isn't. And I dropped out. And I didn't pay any more tax from 1978 until last night at 5 o'clock. Now, I would be eligible if I went down and signed up. But if I did that, then I would be the dog returning to his vomit. So I decided some years back, I'm not going to retire. Moses didn't retire. He worked until the day he died. He was on the job the day God took him. The Apostle Paul, Jesus, John the Baptist, all these guys, Elijah, they all worked until they died. There was no retirement. Look in the Bible, you won't find any retirement program. That comes from the Democrats. That comes from liberals and communists and socialists. You didn't get that from Moses, God, Jesus, or John the Baptist. No. So I said, I think that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to avoid that retirement thing, and I did. And so today, I'm still working every day. I'm on the job right now, putting out this program. I'm on the job. I'm doing my thing. And I'm not drawing on unemployment or Social Security and so on. And I suggest that people consider that. Now, I'm not here to tell you not to draw your Social Security. I mean, you know, it may be that that's the difference between eating today and not. That's your choice in life. You made it, and you're going to have to live with it. Well, I made my choice, and I said, I'm not going to do that. Now, Social Security is going to collapse, and when it collapses, it isn't going to take my money with it because I'm not in it. Now, it took my $12,800, and God love you people out there. I hope you spend it wisely. Take my $12,800, and then you keep it. Don't give me a dime. I don't want any. And Social Security says, if you want the program, you've got to go down and sign up. And I did not go down and sign up, and I do not want the plan, and I'm not going to participate in it. It's against the law. Violates the law of God. Violates strict liability. So I'm not going to do that. But I wouldn't tell anybody else not to. You know, that's a choice for everybody to make, and you're going to make your choice, and I made mine. But when Social Security collapses, you people that are dependent upon it are going to be hurting. And little Georgie Gordon, who doesn't draw it and is not dependent upon it, is not going to be hurt by the Social Security system's collapse. Now, I may starve to death, and I may not be able to make it, but it won't be because of Social Security one way or the other. See how simple that is? I'm not dependent on welfare, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation, Social Security. I'm not drawing any of these government benefits. Dropped out of that program many years ago. So when they collapse and they stop making those payments, I've already made my preparations. I've got my raised beds. I grow my own food. I raise my own food here, cows and sheep and so on. And I recommend that other people do the same. I've been telling people now for years and years, you should have a 4-year supply of food just like Joseph had. Maybe you need 7, but I think you need 4 at least. And it could be that you need 7. And the people out here that are saying, oh, no, you don't need that. Well, somebody's a damn lying deceiver. It's either me or them, you know, one or the other. So, you know, I told you I was a liar. I never denied it. But when somebody comes to you and they say, hey, I'm telling you the truth and you can trust me, you want to remember that God said, let God be true, though every man be found a liar. And I'm just one of every man, so I just want to let you know that God told you the truth when he said George Gordon's a liar. He didn't pull your leg. He told you the straight skinny, and I'll admit to that. Now, sometimes I tell the truth. Sometimes. Do the best you can. Sometimes I'll lie. Sometimes I don't know the difference. But I wanted to let you know that there are lying deceivers out there that are telling you that they're telling the truth, like the Lusitania. They came out there and told my granddad. They said, now, those dirty German Huns sunk that ship, and it was unarmed. That ship is full to this day, laying in 235 feet of water, and it's full of ammunition that came from Fort Wayne, Indiana. And they hauled it over there, and the Germans sank it. And then later, we admitted to it. But my granddad never knew that. The lying deceivers got to him. And then he believed their lies. And then later on, he supported World War I. He got in there with, you know, both hands and both feet, and he said, let's go give it to them Germans over there, just like we did with the Iraqis. Hey, we swallowed that weapons of mass destruction lie from Colin Powell and George Bush, hook, line, and sinker, now, didn't we? There's no one of you out there doesn't know that. You all know that was a damn lie. So Mark Twain used to call it, there's liars, and then there's damn liars. And then that was a damn lie. And they all knew better. And Colin Powell knew better, too. And he's put on the air, you know, well, you know, I think maybe I was deceived. Ah, you wasn't deceived. You don't get to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff unless you're an insider. There isn't any of these insiders that are dumb. There are none of them that are ignorant. They know what the hell's going on. You and I are ignorant, but they're not. You and I are lied to and deceived, but they're not. They know what the hell's going on. And once in a while, one of them blows the whistle and spills the beans to us. And that's what's happening with this WikiLeaks. And the government, they're just really chafing now because, like Daniel Ellsberg, you know, he came out and said, well, I'm going to come out and tell people the truth. Here's what's going on. And the government's jumping up and down saying, well, this is damaging national security. Yeah, the revelation of your lies that the Lusitania is carrying munitions is going to damage your credibility. No doubt about it. Except that today, who gives a rat's rectum, because all those people are dead now, aren't they? Now, this whole American participation in World War I, in fact, the whole participation of everybody on both sides, was a waste of everybody's time, effort, and energy. But the people that created World War I, my God, they made billions of dollars in profits. And this Iraq war, listen, that's a very profitable war. You know, for the oil companies, guys like Shell Oil and Exxon and Standard Oil and British Petroleum, my God, those people are raking in money hand over fist. You go ask them how needful the war was, and they'll tell you, oh my God, that war was imperative. Why, that's what saved democracy. But I want to point out that for the 4,000 or 5,000 Americans that got killed over there, it wasn't necessary. And for the 2 or 3 million Iraqis that got killed, it sure as hell wasn't necessary. And it was a lying deception right from the get-go. And I swallowed the lie just like everybody else. I thought the guy had weapons of mass destruction. I listened to Colin Powell. I should have known better. I should have known that if this guy is the Secretary of State and he's speaking for the government, that it's probably a lie. But see, the government doesn't lie to us 100% of the time. They only lie to us about 25% of the time. And then they tell us the truth 75%, lie to us 25%, and keep us deceived 100%. That's just about the percentage. That's about the way the game has been played. All right, now I've covered three items here for you today. We're talking about this CO2 and global warming. Just read the papers, get the numbers together, and put the story together. In fact, I put on a whole series of programs, 7 programs on CO2. I got a book from a think tank, and I pulled it out, and I gave you the statistics. I gave you the numbers, right there. And then when we're talking about the Lusitania, you know, that thing was as phony as a $3 bill when they admitted it in 1967, 50 or 60 years after the fact. They will actually tell us the truth. They will release these papers. What they don't want is these papers released before they die or before you die. They don't care if they get released, you know, 50 years from now, but they don't want them released right now. All right, so now with that in mind, let's tuck that away in our heart, that there are lying deceivers out there, and these lying deceivers lie and deceive us, and they have an agenda. And it's up to us, caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. Hey, I'm out of time. Let me give you a final reminder here that you have been listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, I'm out of time. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.